What's up, everyone? This is Josh.
This is Andrew.
We're from Stick to Your Guns.
And you're listening to
The Nardcast.
Woo, that's right. You're listening to The Nardcast. Thanks from the guys from Stick to Your Guns for that lovely intro right there. Again, you're listening to The Nardcast, episode 147, sponsored by my good friend Bettina Time over there at BettinaTime.com. She's a art and entertainment promotions over there, so definitely hit her up again, BettinaTime.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, The Nardcast, also Facebook.com/TheNardcast. Also, TheNardcast.podomatic.com. I'm also on Vine, Tinder, LinkedIn, all those social medias. You gotta be on it, guys. You gotta be on the social media, and that's what I'm doing. I'm on all of them, even Snapchat. In a way, I got most of the people from the band, the Night Owl Massacre, over in the set today.
Most.
How you doing?
And I appreciate you guys being on the show. And if we can, on the stage right, can you guys introduce yourselves?
Stage right. Of course. Over here, I'm Ricky. I play the drums.
Slick Rick in the building.
Wells Eastwood, lead guitars, and guy with the shirt off.
Big L's.
I'm Kevin Asti, and I play guitar and I sing.
Kevy Kev's in the building.
Make a lot of noise.
That's right.
I say really inappropriate things in the microphones.
For of course.
We make money playing shows.
And you know, I think, and that's normal. I mean, that's normal. You're a singer, that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, you're the lead guitar, or not the lead guitar player, but you're guitar player and singer, right?
Yeah, I play most of the rhythm stuff. I don't know. I'm venturing out into new territory. The band's teaching me a lot. So,
nice.
You know, it's always a learning experience.
That's what's up. Now, you're from Texas, right?
I am from Texas.
Now, so what brings you out here to San Diego?
That's a long story.
We got time, right?
We got time all night.
We're drinking beer. We got some Crown Royal in the mix. We're watching Friday, so we're good. I mean, this is it's gonna be a good night tonight.
10 years ago, I had a buddy of mine that went to Tarzana High School out here, and he was living in Texas at the time, because his mom was stationed in the Air Force. And he came back to San Diego, got an apartment, and offered me. He's like, "Hey, dude, you want to come visit San Diego?" So I took him up on it. Next thing you know, I kind of never left. Now it's been 10 years.
Nice.
He's by the beach the whole time.
Yeah,
too.
Nice.
So you know he's real scummy.
Pretty much OB all the
Black
time.
Black beach nice. All the time.
Work in OB. I live in OB.
OB is so weird to me. Like every time I go to OB, it's like I can't tell if people are either homeless or that's just the way they look.
Or they're a hipster.
Yeah,
right?
Or they're a hipster.
Hipster
or
homeless.
Yeah.
Hippies.
There's way too many hipsters there, dude.
Just don't care.
And sometimes like, "Hey man, you need some change?" It's like, "No, dude, I'm very offended. I actually have a nice paying job, man." Screw you, asshole.
I have a nice paying job. I just don't have
look
a nice
up his sleeve
pants.
And he has like a Rolex, man.
Yeah. I know, right? So Big Ales, what about you? So you're from San Diego, right?
Actually, I grew up in Nebraska, but I've been out here for 10 years. Just about like Kev. You said 10 years, right? I don't
yeah,
know. 10
years,
it's
yeah,
10
years.
It's my turn to talk. Don't be talking. Don't be talking. But yeah, I moved out here 10 years ago. And yeah, why leave? You know, it's San Diego. It's the greatest place I've ever lived. So.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
place, man.
I've been out here for 8 years, so you guys got me beat for sure. And the only local native here from Chula Vista is my man, Slick Rick.
I'm here. Drums, yeah. I was born and raised here in San Diego. I'm 26 now, so I've been here for 26 years, so all you guys can suck on that.
26 years.
And you're living over in South Park, right?
I live in South Park. I currently reside there. I've been there for a couple years now. I love the area. I love the community, and it's an up-and-growing community.
It is, man. It's nice. Just like North Park, man. North Park's one of those up-and-coming communities, too. I don't know about OB too much, but, you know, maybe...
It seems to be some weird, like, gravitational, like, up-force on mustached people. In the park areas, because they're all just—it's all just going up. What's up with that, Ricky?
Yeah, I like my curled mustache. What are you guys gonna
I guess so. You're a smooth dude, though. I mean, he's got the leather jacket over there.
The best looking one of the bunch.
I would have never known you were in a punk band just by looking at you, dude. You're smooth. This dude's smooth. He should be in, what's that movie? He should be in The Outsiders, right? He should be in The Outsiders.
Oh,
that is a hell of a compliment.
Ricky remembers when I had a mustache, though. And
I do.
He's about a half inch short of where my mustache was.
Always a half.
And I had that good white guy Irish red mustache.
I know,
too.
Right?
It was good.
Well, yours was just dirty. Mine's actually kind of clean and.
I'm not gonna make a dirty Mexican joke.
I've never heard of those before living in San Diego.
There goes my Hispanic followers right there. No, I'm just joking.
Whiskey.
All my Latinas.
All right, so all you guys basically been performing and being in bands prior to the Night Owl Massacre, right? So Kevin,
This is my first one actually. Like, playing guitar and while singing as well.
Because your heart's drums, right?
Yeah, I've been playing drums in bands over here for, the past 6 years.
Okay.
I was in, a doom metal project named Dagnir before this, which, if you're into heavier stuff, heavier, doom rock and everything, definitely check out Dagnir.
Okay,
check
them
out. We made an album, but you know, like all great things they end too quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone's got to move to New York and...
Just like sex with Kev.
Yeah, and it's too quickly. Oh, that's a good one. I like that, Big L. Big
L
with the
go.
Jokes. Big L with the jokes. All right, what about you, L? Like, so you have you been playing guitar in other bands before?
Yeah, yeah. I've been basically like the last 8 years. I've been playing guitar. Kev and I were in a band recently. I think that was the last band I was in. Yeah, Outlaw Country Outfit. Like you said, he was playing drums.
Hi, Rob.
I was doing the leads.
Big shout to Rob.
Big shout to Rob. Who else is in that band? Nick Shore.
Oh, Nick Shore is who's in Latex Grenade right now.
Yeah,
Nick Shore is easily the shreddiest bass player. Yeah, I know.
He's one of those bass players where you want to be like, dude, you're good, but just stop.
They call
stop
that,
playing all those notes
they call that
on
a savant.
This song. A savant?
Yeah.
I call him an idiot. just playing, Uh-oh. Nick. I love you.
Uh-oh. What about you, Ailes? Is this your first band playing drums in, or have you been in?
I've always just played drums pretty much. Growing up, I was in just marching band, and that's how I actually got into drums. And also, my dad was a drummer. When he was a kid, he played drums. I actually started off, he gave me his first kit, which was his, like, vintage, like, 70s, 80s year old kit. So Rogers. So, yeah, he was all about the jazz. He played jazz and a little salsa, and that's pretty much what I kind of grew up on. Then getting into marching band when I went to high school, got into a little bit harder stuff. Went into like hardcore for a second. And Metallica was one of my up and coming, like one of my favorite bands. So Lars Ulrich was definitely a big influence in my playing. But also, you know, Gene Krupa, Buddy Rich, all those amazing jazz drummers. Keith Moon from The Who, also amazing. So I
big grew time.
Kind of, so I kind of grew up on them, and that's how I play now.
That's what's up, dude. Yeah. What about you, Els? Like, what about the guitar? Like, you said you've been playing guitar for about 8 years now.
Well, I've been playing in bands for about 8 years. I think I picked it up when I was 17, which was only 5 years ago. No, just joking. I'm older than that.
You're the old one. You're Papa Bear in the group.
When it comes to influences, man, I should have thought about this one beforehand. But, you know, just anybody that plays guitar, man. Obviously, dudes like Hendrix.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, Stevie Ray Vaughan. All those shredders everybody likes. But I know a band I really started loving in the 90s and I got into music was 311. And they kind of are weak now, but
you know, I'm not gonna lie.
I like that band, man.
I like Down and in the Transistor album. That was
really grassroots. That's all solid music.
Yeah,
Kev's looking at me like he don't like any kind of white boy reggae stuff. But it happens.
What about you, Kev? Like, so what was your influences? Why did you pick up the guitar and the drums? Actually,
well, I picked up my aunt Susan, who God bless her soul, passed away about 12 years ago. She got me a keyboard when I was really, really young, and I didn't quite take to that. So then I said I wanted a practice pad, and like, you know, I wanted to play drums. So she got me, you know, a little Remo Rudiments handbook, a little practice pad, and a pair of Vic Firth sticks. And I had those forever. And that was probably when I was like 6. I finally got to be, like, I think it was 10, where my hands were like big enough to start being able to play. She was dating a guitarist at this point, and so he got me like a little classical guitar. And I had that for probably 7-8 years, and that's what I learned on. But in the meantime, my brother got a drum set, so I would always sneak in his room and play the drums, and that just always felt more like natural. And I mean, you know, just over air drumming over the years and just kind of like working, you can tap out rudiments on your lap and then you just apply them to the kit. So but then I started, like, I mean, growing up in Texas, you kind of sheltered a little bit. I was raised in a Catholic family, so once I finally got out on my own here in San Diego, I started listening to a lot more music, and my buddy turned me on to bands like Hot Snakes, Drive Like Jehu, Pinbag, a whole bunch of really rad local artists, because he was kind of plugged into all that. And then out of that spawned more, like, I had friends like introduce me to NoFX.
Love NoFX.
But then again, I also have like a whole like kind of like calmer side. Like, there's a band called Cloud Cult.
Never heard of them.
They're really rad, and then Neutral Milk Hotel.
Wow, I never heard of these guys.
Dude, Neutral Milk. That's one of my, like, favorite albums.
I'm going to have to check them out.
Really?
Now, while you were talking, I hate to call Big L out, but Big L was giving you the rap like they do in the academies.
He looked at me and was like, wrap it up.
Hey, I told you.
He's long-winded.
I told you. Like, I'm a thorough fellow.
If you ever seen Rocket from the Crypt, you know how much John Reese talks on stage.
John Reese,
Kev does the same thing.
But that's good, though. It makes good conversation, so it's all good. Now, you grew up listening to, like, those bands I never heard of. Only one that you even mentioned that I know is obviously NoFX and Pinbag, which is awesome. What about you guys? Like, what were you guys growing up listening to? I know you mentioned 311 earlier as well.
Yeah, well, I was pretty sheltered too. I grew up in a small town, smaller than Kev's, I bet, in Nebraska.
Yeah.
But it was Nebraska, so 311 was there. That was like, everybody's
connection.
Me. That was like, this is like cool. Like, these dudes moved to LA, man. You can be a kid from Nebraska, and you can move to LA, and you can be in a band, and you can kick ass. And that
That's
was
not bad.
My first real introduction to music and, you know, how it could be life-changing and kick-ass. And that's my deep Kev answer.
At least you didn't mention Creed or anything like that.
You know, funny story? I didn't really even know who Led Zeppelin was until I was 18 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how sheltered I was, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Not sheltered, but just in the middle of nowhere, and you didn't hear shit. You know?
So what was going on in the home of Nebraska? Like, what was music then? Like, what were you guys listening to? Was it like...
Country music all day, man.
Like Johnny Cash country music?
He's a big
Johnny
Rascal
Cash
Flats.
And, like, even... Yeah. The biggest question on me. Nah, not that.
None of that.
They got Shania look Twain. Like country music artists for me to do. I like some Shania Twain. Kev, whose bed do your boots been under?
Does Darius Rucker count as country?
No, hell no. He's okay. Hootie, and he always will be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's Hootie.
I'm not hating on Hootie. I'm just saying.
Cracker.
Wagon Wheel was done better.
I can't say that I did not have to listen to that album a million times.
Yeah.
My dad bought the shit out of it.
Oh, well, I thought you had a girlfriend. But you still haven't had a girlfriend yet.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Since San Diego, you haven't had a girlfriend? We can change that.
It's this guy who's had the same girlfriend for, what, 8 years?
Oh, wow.
No, 6. Love you, babe.
Big shout out to Babe.
Big shout out to the Babe.
That's what I said. What about
Which
you?
Which one is this one, Elsa, you're talking about?
Hey, oh, hey, don't say names. Nobody say names.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Don't be saying names.
Elsa's been too busy thinking about playing football, if you know what I mean.
Go Packers,
he loves
by
to
the
huddle.
Way.
Inside joke.
All right, what about you, Ricky?
Yeah.
Slick Rick.
I remember when I was a kid, I think one of the first CDs I ever bought was I was really into Offspring. I think it was Americana was one of the first CDs I ever got.
Wow.
And I don't know. I was attracted to it, I guess. It was really good music.
You definitely got to listen to some older Offspring. If you really like the Americana, I mean, like, what is X-Nay on the Ombre or something like that?
The
and the
Smash
was amazing
Smash was
one
on
too.
Cargo.
Yeah.
Kenneth Boychuk, I think, put that record out, actually.
I don't know who that is.
That was my friend Sydney. Her dad, actually, was, like, the dude.
Producer?
He was, I believe, a producer.
Oh, wow.
And he was working with Cargo at the time. So they did, like, that, and it was, like, the first Rocket record.
Nice.
I like Bad Habit.
So the Offspring actually have a weird connection, like, locally with that.
That's cool. I didn't even know that. That's what's up.
The first CD you ever bought was actually Cool Ricky. You just found that out, man.
Boom, there you go.
There you go, man. Like, I was going to pick on you, but yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I like Offspring, but I would have never imagined like Americana being one of the albums that I like by Offspring. Like,
yeah.
Like,
is that the one that had like Pretty Fly for a while?
Yeah,
It was.
That's when they sold out, actually, I think.
Their record company.
I think that was like the one that got them like big, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And write some bullshit songs.
Same with Blink.
Record deal. It's like the biggest selling one.
Yeah. Same with Blink when they came out with Enema of the State with Travis Barker's debut on that album. Me, I was listening to the very first one, Buddha, Shazar Cat. Well, no, I'm saying that wrong. And Do Ranch. Yeah. And then Do Ranch is like one of my favorite Blink 182 albums. But anyway, this show's not about me. But anyway, so all right. So how do you guys know each other? Like, I know you guys had to know each other before
me and Ellis were in a country band before this. I almost said, didn't we already talk about this? And of course, no, we didn't already talk about it. But fucking,
that was off the air.
So we were in a country band called Rough Jug and the Deadline Jitters, and I was playing drums in that band. Ellis was playing lead guitar and harmonica.
Play harmonica. I totally forgot that.
Seen that before.
Yeah. I never seen that either.
We'll find a spot for
I used to have that mustache, man. I could
it'll,
play
it'll
the harmonica.
It'll be at the end of the
long
track.
Yeah.
But, so we were in that band, and through the way things always happen, eventually, good things end too soon.
Yeah.
And we had to part ways with the singer. Or I should say, he had to part ways with us.
So when you guys started the band, like, did you guys know each other prior to starting that country band?
No, I had actually known a mutual friend of ours named Jimmy Dean, who plays in the Confederales and Big Bone in the Big Scene.
He's not part of the Jimmy Dean...
The Bratwurst.
Yeah, he's not part of that. Okay.
No, very, very different.
Tossing another popular person in the mix.
See a sausage if you want.
Boom.
So...
Jimmy, I think, came over and played drums.
Yeah.
I think he came over and played drums for you guys. I'm like, oh, I know this guy. Kev the Kid.
Yeah, Jimmy Dean sat in and was like, he couldn't be in a band at the time. And he gave us Kev's name. And I picked him up one day. No, you had a motorcycle, Liz.
I had a motorcycle at that point. Yeah.
So he came over and played drums. And we're like, hell yeah, dude. Jump on that.
And then I got rid of the motorcycle. And they had to pick me up for practice every single week after that.
Yep. Nice. So 3 years of Kev getting rides.
Nice.
To this day, actually.
I gave him a ride here.
Yeah, sure did.
Hey, good things never change.
Hey, he still has a bike, though. So props for that.
So you said that band didn't last too long. So
it lasted, about a year?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And then,
that breaking point for
bands. And then there was just a lull, I'd say, for about 4 or 5 months.
Did we play together?
No.
We didn't really. We just kind of...
Not really. Like, I remember I started like talking to Kurt.
Oh, yeah.
Mutual friend, and he had a space to play. And I remember getting really, really sick last year in December. Like, I don't know what the hell happened, but I was like on the couch for like 3 days. So I was like, okay, once I finally got over it, I was like, I'm not going to drink for a month. I'm not going to do anything. And out of that month, just like absolute sobriety, came most of the songs on the first record. And from that, it just blossomed into practicing every week. I kind of contacted Ellis because I needed a bass player. Mm-hmm. And he came over, learned all the parts for bass. We needed a drummer. Like, I recorded initially like all the parts myself, just kind of raw in the garage, and brought it to them. But Ricky was able to listen to those. He came out. He was the first one out of like 10 people that I had gotten a hold of to like actually show up. It ended up working out really well. And
so what's the requirement? Did you guys have a requirement for Craigslist whenever you guys posted it?
Well, I just I made the ad, and I figured I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Put in some influences, like I put down Rocket from the Crypt, Super Suckers, Fugazi, you know, Bouncing Souls, NOFX,
nice.
Arches of Loaf, any other number of bands that I think I put like 20 of them on there. The MC5 and the Who was on there.
Heard a couple of them, like a couple and of
them. And Ricky got back to me as well as like, you know, he was saying about 12, 15 other people.
Yeah.
And he was the only one that just didn't flake.
Wow.
So at that point, we had my buddy Matt over there, but then he said it's not going to work out singing-wise. So I was like, okay, well, what can we do here? And I knew that Ellis had played lead guitar in the band before us.
I was playing bass at that point.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I work at Ocean Beach People's Food Co-op, and one of my coworkers there, Ruby, plays bass.
Big shout out to Ruby, couldn't make it
Big
tonight.
Shout out to Ruby, couldn't make it tonight. We love you, Ruby.
Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby in the house.
Yep.
Jack Ruby did it.
Nice.
So I asked her if she'd be interested. She's like, fuck yeah. And comes over and just kills it. And then that kind of breeded the Night Owl Massacre. I want to say it took me a month to write the songs. Brought it to them, I believe by the end of January we had our first practice, and it was kind of slow to start. Hell, it may have even been into February, because we played the first show on
your birthday, summer,
on,
right?
May 20th.
Was that right around the time y'all dropped the first five songs?
We dropped that.
It was
3 months. No, 3 months later, August.
Oh, okay.
So 6 months we put out the EP basically, and you know, it just got nice and tight. And that's the one thing that I really like when we perform, like, and try to just make it tight, lots of high energy.
Nice.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that we like to play.
So, like, tell me a little bit, since you write most of the songs, right? So tell me a little bit about the songwriting process. Like, what is that like, both instruments and lyrically?
I've got rhythm. Just being a drummer, I got rhythms going in my head every single day. It's, like, nonstop. It's an affliction of sorts. But I'll go and I'll basically just play a riff. I can just sit down and I can just start playing something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you noodle around until you find something cool. Then what I'll do is I'll just store that. I'll kind of bring it to these guys. We'll toss it around. We'll structure some parts. And then either if we nail it there, I'll take it home, kind of revise it a little bit. And then
refine it, not revise it.
We'll
right?
refine it.
Papa Bear's talking.
And then usually what it is, we take it back to the next practice. And I'll just try and, like, shout lyrics at it while we're playing it. And it's what I've found works the best is I'll just take whatever kind of catches and hooks. I'll just write that down, and then I take it home, and I just noodle around with that. I find the syncopation of the syllables, like, what fits. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of go off that, and it's this new kind of actual thing that's working pretty good. So
it's definitely a real fun, natural process, you know.
Definitely.
When you play with people and you vibe, you know, it's good. You can tell when you play with people and you don't vibe, but with this band right here, we just get in a room and we just start playing. It could be anything, and you know.
It's true.
We're all on the same page without even playing a note. So that's one of my most favorite things about you guys.
That's
one of
my most
favoritist things.
Yeah, I think everybody has enough of it.
What about
of
playing shows?
Do you do that?
Like what? Playing shows, that's the best thing. That's why we do this, right?
Yeah. I don't get to look at these guys as much when I play shows. I like playing in a room practicing because I can at least look at everybody.
Or in a little small, tight Narcast studio where you can kind of like be all tight together.
I could push Ricky a little bit out of frame if I want, you know?
Yeah, he usually just kicks me or... Where's my beer?
Since I take up a lot of mass as it is, I'll just set up perfectly in front of the drums. So that it's just like
he gives me nods every here and there. Where he's about to change downs, up the second. Yeah, up downs is usually
up downs. What are all the things that he tells you to do? Up downs, I know, is a big thing.
Up three downs kicks. Is yeah. The three kicks, the kicks for sure.
Then, loosen your hi-hats.
Yeah.
So Rick,
I like them tight.
So Rick, is it challenging playing drums for the band, or is it?
It's not challenging, but what I love about it, it's definitely
good answer.
Yeah, it's definitely made me a better musician. Just getting to know their type of music, and because I wasn't into punk too much, and then just knowing Kevin, I knew he really was. He just showed me a bunch of different artists, a bunch of different songs, and I would just listen to that and just go off that and kind of just practice to that, but yet incorporate my own talent the way I do it, and it just kind of works from there.
So what's up? So let's talk a little bit about the first five song EP. By the Night Owl Massacre. So how was you guys recorded this where?
American Sound Studios with Brandon Jensen. He's really awesome.
Hell of a guy.
He's the man.
Shout out American Sound Studios.
Awesome, excellent things about him. Everyone should go get their album done there.
Nice. Now how long did it take you guys to record all five songs?
8 hours.
Yeah, two four-hour sessions.
You mentioned earlier you guys do everything in one take.
One take.
Nice.
One take. We went in and laid down everything instrument-wise live in the first 4 hours. Els came back, did some overdubs for his solos, but everything was really good to go.
Lead vocals were one take, right?
Yeah, lead vocals took 30 minutes.
Kev's a badass.
Yeah. Let's talk about one of the tracks, because I'm going to play a track here called Keep On Dancing. I like the title of that one. I like the track.
What was the
songwriting process like with this one? Let's break down this song here.
Well, we wrote that riff on Paint Fumes.
It was true. It was very true. We used to have a neighbor of ours recently dearly departed, but... He's no longer with us, but he used to spray paint go-karts and other various things in a garage next to us that wasn't completely sealed.
Oh, wow.
So we'd just be playing loud. Next thing you know, it's like, God, dude, it's smell like paint. Oh, wait, we're super high.
Everyone's starting to get a little lightheaded. We gotta take a break and get out of the garage for a second.
By the time you realized you were huffing paint, it was too late.
It was too late.
Say,
we already
I
affected.
I want to say... We came up with like the little three chord progression, and then you had that cool little way of like,
yeah, it was that little Motley Crue riff. I remember we were sitting outside, we had the door open, because we were still playing because it was happening. The song was getting written right then and there, but we knew we had to open that thing or else we'd die of asphyxiation.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it's like,
wait, we die of what else?
Asphyxiation? Did I say that right?
Asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation.
Little Bear's correcting Papa Bear over here.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, it's got that little Motley Crue riff on the hook, right?
Yep.
It's got that da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Yeah. So that's the genesis of that song.
Okay.
That started off just ultimately, like, the song itself just... keep on dancing.
It's just upbeat, right? It's
no
just
matter, no matter it's what happens to you in life, right? Music in the life never stops. You gotta keep on dancing.
That's right, man. We're here with Big L's, Kevin, and Slick Rick right here from three of the four members of the Night Owl Massacre. We're gonna play a track right here off their first five song EP. Track here called Keep On Dancing right here on episode 147, sponsored by my homie Bettina Time, right here on episode 147.
Yep. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. Episode 147 with three of the four members of the Night Owl Massacre. That's right. That's right, man. Glad you guys are hanging out with me, man. You guys having a good time?
Hell yeah. It's good times right now. Babies. Hell yeah.
Listen up.
And then at the end of the show, we're going to have you guys play Trot, which is also off this EP. We recorded earlier, obviously. I don't want to lie to the listeners here. I don't want to lie. But it's pre-recorded, but we did, you know, do a little one-take session.
We did it live, but...
Yeah, we did it live, kind of, sort of. So
we had many beers to do it live at the end of the
show. Exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
We're just blowing people's brains out there right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, we're just teasing.
People can't even contain in their heads.
Kev, what I tell you about blowing people just for those.
Yeah, I know, right? Dude, we had
just like you do.
We had the most epic conversation earlier about microphones. The way we hold our mics is probably the way we hold our penises.
Uh-oh.
That was funny. I just had to bring that out. And I thought that was funny.
Everyone holds it a different way.
Actually, that's going to be like the description. Like I talked with the guys from the Night Owl Massacre and find out how, you know, about the way we hold our mics is probably the way we hold our penises. That probably makes sense right then. But I'll word it where it sounds right. In writing, but
a couple of revisions on that one.
It's the Crown Royal talking, by the way. It's the Crown Royal. All right, I'm gonna go grab a drink. But while I grab a drink, tell me what's coming up for you guys. As
coming
far
up.
As can I get a brew? By the way,
yeah.
Cool? Oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah. Of course, no questions.
Hey, yeah, there's two in there. They're in your fridge.
All right, sweet. So, while I go grab the brewskis, tell me about what's coming up for you guys.
Definitely.
Well, we just booked February 12th at Gallagher's down in Ocean Beach. Good old CJ, who just booked our recent U31 show.
Hell of a guy.
Hell of a guy. Deadly Birds, good band. Check that
really
out.
Really good band.
But we're playing Gallagher's on February 12th, which is a Wednesday. And that's a free show. My friends No Kings will be playing as well, and more to be announced. But free show down in Gallagher's.
TBA, that was to be announced? That wasn't a band?
TBA, no, man.
There should
be a band.
These guys
are sick. They had
that
one 8-track back in '68.
Well, I tried to Google it, and I didn't find anything. So I
did, because
like,
they're like pre-internet.
Just a bunch of upcoming shows that I didn't know.
So out of all the
everything
venues,
about the bands is written on a bunch of post-its. They were lost a long time ago.
So out of all the venues here in San Diego, what venue do you think you guys like to, like, what do you guys like playing at?
All of them, don't we?
We like
all
of them.
Anywhere.
I gotta say, playing at the Casbah was fun.
I would definitely say that was one of our best shows with the Casbah.
Tim Piles, big shout out to Timmy Piles.
Yeah, big shout out to Tim, man. He's awesome. I love what he does for the music community, especially for his local. His local show every Sunday.
He's the best local artist.
It's awesome.
Seriously, and always just makes it a really fun time. And making it so accessible for eager musicians to get their sounds heard by the radio. It's
Kevin
awesome.
Will do anything.
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 Almost
literally,
anything.
Almost.
That Casbah show was a dream come true.
It was. I wonder how we got it, Kev. Yeah. Wink, wink.
By the way, happy 25th anniversary
to the Casbah. Happy 25th anniversary to the Casbah.
Did you guys go to that show or no?
Well, I mean, I'm going to a couple shows this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw one. So,
off. DPI was down there.
Off
comedy.
Off and Rat Size. Rocket, cool. The end of the month.
Yeah,
so.
God, I'm probably going to see that one. Rocket, I kind of, not really grew up, but when I moved out here to San Diego, I started listening to them. But before I moved out here, have you guys heard of Tiltwheel?
That's
what I actually grew up listening to in high school. Like, they were playing like in the 90s back in the day, and I was actually honored to play a set with them. Well, not with them, but we were on that same bill.
That's awesome.
At King Club. I don't know if you guys played at King Club. King Club's awesome.
That's probably, I gotta say, one of my favorite things.
What up, Roger? Holler at me. Night Owl Massacre. We trying to get King Club.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
That was awesome being able to play a venue like that. But
big just shout out to, you know, all the bands we played with. But it's one of my favorite things about being in a band is you can book shows with bands that you like and see them for free.
Yeah. So speaking of bands you like, what are some local bands you guys like right now?
Oh, right now I really like Casket.
Gotta talk about Casket.
I've been spinning their shit a lot right now.
Oh, really?
The Night Owl Massacre, those guys obviously are a bunch of assholes.
I heard about them guys. Those guys,
they're pretty
tight.
On a good show.
It was like, it's like two good looking guys, a girl, and then like some ugly guy that sings, right? That's
I like the Burning of Rome.
Okay.
These guys are great. Really, I think we're probably one of the most original sounds. Like, well, and it's up and coming. They've been a band for, I think,
they've been around
six,
for
7 years.
Yeah, I think they won a San Diego Music Award.
Yeah.
Award. I don't know if it was this year, but
signed
it was
to Surf Dog Records not too long ago.
Yeah, big shout out to Surf Dog. Still doing their thing over there in Encinitas.
Yeah, dude, those guys, they put on a great live show. I mean, obviously, Rocket's back playing now.
Yeah, they're back.
Kevin loves
it. I love it.
John Reese in the building.
Big
Bar
time.
Pink.
Bar paint.
So yeah, you work at a venue too, right? Brick by Brick?
Yeah, dude, I work for a venue. I do internet stuff, social media and graphic design, so I'm not exactly on their payroll. I kind of just work for free drinks and privileges down there.
Hey, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah, it works out. You know,
what kind of privileges?
I like those guys. We can't talk about those on any kind of progress format.
Ricky's got the best job.
I love Stone? My craft beer, I work at Stone Brewing Company up at Point Loma. It just opened up about 7-8 months ago, and it's just been booming ever since. People love their Stone beer. It's one of the biggest craft beers here in San Diego. That name speaks for itself.
In the country, bro.
Exactly.
If Greg's listening right now, I just want to let you know that one of your employees who goes by Slick Rick brought over a Longhammer IPA by Red Hook. Just saying.
He's actually on sabbatical right now, so.
That's right. He won't be back until
four months. Okay. So,
everything on the internet is forever.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. No,
Steve Wagner's not listening.
I know, right? I'm just messing. So you work at Stone, which is an awesome place. Do you work in the facility over in Point Loma? Or?
I do, yeah. I work at the Liberty Station one in Point Loma. Awesome space. Huge. About 62,000 square feet.
Bocce ball
court, movie theater court. The garden area is just massive.
What was the name of that game that you completely kicked my ass
in? Well, there was two games that I kicked your ass in. And that was Cornhole was one of them.
Of course, naturally, I would lose at a game.
Of course, I was singing those in. I was making it in those holes.
Never even heard of that game.
That's the one with the beanbags, right?
Yeah, it's the one with the beanbags.
You throw it in the hole. Okay. That's what she said. All right, cool. Yeah.
What was the other game that we were playing that I also would try to say? Oh, yeah, bocce ball.
Okay, so you're very competitive then.
I do.
He's not competitive. He's just a winner.
I have there.
And that's why he's a night owl master.
Winning.
Can you play foosball, though? That's my sport right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all right at foosball.
Okay, so that's not
good. I've been playing foosball. I'm actually naturally good at everything.
That's not a good answer. So I think I could totally take it. Foosball. Can you play some ball? Can you play basketball?
I do not play basketball. I am more of a tennis player, actually. Do you play tennis?
I play table tennis.
And a pod throw down.
We could go to Triple Crown tonight and play some table tennis. I'm
always down for that as well.
I only
play ping pong and ding dang.
Huh?
Have you been to Coin-Op?
Not yet. That's coming over on 30th, right?
Yeah, it's
I haven't been there yet, the arcade
bar or whatever.
Now, if they got Mortal Kombat 3 or some Street Fighter, I own that Tournament Edition.
They got that Tournament Edition down at Brick by Brick, and man, that motherfucker is hard.
They used to have it in
Park. You know what? I've never been to Brick by Brick, now that I think about it.
Oh, man, it's on Marina Boulevard. It's mostly like a nightclub. You know, they don't really open during the day anymore, and it's just shows.
Oh, okay.
But it's a great place. I mean, capacity's like 200 or something like that. I've seen 350 people in there for a show. They got a lot of big bands that come through there.
They have good bands going on there.
It's like the you know, not too big to play House of Blues, but not small enough to play Casbah. They're like in the middle there, you know.
Okay.
It's based on the draw, basically.
Oh, that's what's
up. It's a great place, though. Brick by Brick on Marina Boulevard.
That's
my wonderful
up.
Area of Bay Park.
Nice.
Come check it out.
Now, where are you? Because I know you're in South Park. You're OB, Kevin. Now, Big L. Now, where you're at?
Bay Park, basically.
Bay Park, okay.
You know, SeaWorld Drive kind of area.
Okay.
It's not really like too much of a neighborhood. It's, we have our rehearsal studio. Our rehearsal space is there in my garage. So it's like a street with houses on it. And it's all businesses around. So
yeah.
We can get loud as hell in
that's
there.
That's so how
right nice. Behind the Griffin, too. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I think is up for sale, isn't it?
Is it really?
I heard they were trying to.
Wasn't it O'Connell's first, too?
O'Connell's.
Yeah. I remember O'Connell's back in the day.
Right before that.
Yeah, yeah.
They used to play shows, like
too.
Years.
That's a nice stage over there. I played there once, too. I like that stage. I like what they're doing over there.
Have you been in there since they did it as the Griffin?
Yeah, yeah. It's the same. It seems like the same setup.
Same thing. It's just like they scrape like an inch of like. Of everything off every surface and put nice stuff on it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Same with we were talking about Kadan earlier. Same with Kadan turning into Polite Provisions.
Polite Provisions.
And it's a lot better now. I mean, I love going there for the dubstep nights, but what they're doing to the communities now, making things a little bit better, is pretty dope. And I want to go back to, because I know you mentioned Stone, and you want to give a big shout out to Spike. Spike.
I work at Spike Africa up in downtown on 4th and Broadway, across the street from Harlem Plaza and Raw Sushi.
Yeah,
right there. It's definitely a really, really good seafood spot. Definitely check it out. Awesome fish.
That's what's up.
It's an awesome place.
CLs, now we know where he works.
Is that the place that you dance topless, or that's another one?
No, that's a...
You're talking about lips over there on El Cajon.
I have to dress up for that one.
He's not completely nude. He wears
like 4-inch stilettos.
They call you Pretty Ricky over there, right? Yeah, Pretty Ricky. Okay.
Pretty Ricky.
All right, so I know you... Okay, this is what confused me when I was talking to Ailes earlier when we were having our little smoke break. So what's up with the 6-song EP, just instrumental on Bandcamp? Because that confused me, and I know that might be something different for you guys.
That is strictly, I feel that being able to put any kind of recorded media up on the internet now, you can go do it for free on Bandcamp. It's an excellent way for bands to be able to learn their own songs. So what we'll do when we have a group of songs that we want to throw down and record, we go to either like my old house or we'll go to Els's house and we'll mic up the room. I'll do all the engineering myself and, you know, get Els to like give me sound check and we mic up the kit. Use about 4 or 5 mics and throw the songs together, cut them out live, put them up on the internet so that everybody can just listen to them.
Everybody
in the band.
So you got,
that's pretty much our homework, actually.
You got 4 to 5 mics, but 1 mic stand. Very disappointing.
I hang a lot of my mics. I got rafters in my place.
I don't have that set up over here. So. That's what's up. All right, so what are you guys going to do with those 6 songs? Is it going to be part of a new LP?
Yeah. What we're going to do is we plan on releasing another 5-song EP. And then let that be out for a little while. Sell them each for $5, which you can always get if you come to a Night Owl Masker show.
Nice.
You always have some kind of CD or something, T-shirt for you to buy. We always have stuff.
If you wait till we get drunk, we usually just give them to you for free. Like
you get some sneakers, possibly a shirt. I mean, if you're gonna flash it.
All right, so you guys have obviously CDs, the first 5-song EP, and then you guys have stickers you mentioned.
Yeah, we got some stickers. We got T-shirts that we make ourselves.
Oh, nice!
Awesome shirts. Little process that we give you cheap. $10 shirts.
Cool.
You know, $5 records is what. That's what's up. I'm not about trying to make people go broke trying to listen to us, but if they want to own it. It's cheap and it's affordable.
That's what's up.
So, but in answer to your question, we're going to put out another 5-song EP, and then we're going to write some more songs and then put out a full length.
Nice. Is that all going to be this year, or is this the plan?
I'm thinking maybe full length next year. We want to get this new 5-song EP. I'm going to say probably I want to do it by my birthday.
Nice. Within 12, 15 months or so.
And within 12, 15 months,
that's doable. That's
maybe,
doable.
Maybe a full length and like, you know, when I'm here.
Now, full length, straight, all new songs, or would you incorporate
the... We might have some making some returns, because
Brandon
Jensen, he does us really proper.
Yeah.
And he gets the way that we like to record.
So you're going to go back pretty much?
Oh, yeah,
there.
Definitely.
Okay, cool, sweet. Cool.
Once again, Brandon Jensen at American Sound Studios.
Nice. Big shout out. Okay, cool. Now, where are they located, in case people want to go check them out?
They're behind Sports Arena. There's a street called Hancock Street.
Nice, okay.
And
no D.
Yeah, no D. It's over by Modern Times Brewing Company, actually, which I always frequent.
I haven't been yet.
I love Modern Times.
Modern Times
Brewing Company.
Oh, okay. I've never been there.
Great beer.
I've had their beer. I haven't been there.
There's all kinds of little really wonderful gyms back behind Sports Arena.
See, I never... Sports Arena is considered Point Loma, right? See, I never go there. Like
the Loma Portal.
It's just so weird. It's just their whole setup. Like, I go there, I get lost. There's just so many weird streets you can get to places to.
It's a hell of an aura, right?
Chick-fil-A is there, and it's like, that's the only Chick-fil-A. I got to go all the way over to freaking Point Loma, and I'm like, oh, man, it's just such a weird setup. I mean, you guys...
Where else are you going to get waffle fries?
I know.
In your car?
We got to go to Point Loma, right? You know, go check out like a 18 and under show at Soma. Go get me some Chick-fil-A.
I thought you were going to say like girls.
My girls is 18 and over, just so you guys know. I said I go there.
That's funny. All right, so what else is in store other than that? You guys going to just continue to do your thing? You got some shows coming up?
If we can get a van or something, I'd love to go.
Tour, that's right.
Yeah, go. Yeah. Like, just do a little Up to the Bay and Back. Just something fun. We got friends up the coast that we could easily get shows with.
That'd be tight.
That's just, you know, big things in the future for the Night Owl Masker. How fast they happen? Who am I to put a timeline on that?
Yeah.
Playing shows, man. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, just play shows, man.
I don't see this wave cresting anytime soon.
Again, like, you guys, like, you know, I saw you guys a couple weekends ago when you guys played with Neighbors to the North over at U31. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to that venue because they really treat me well over there, and I treat them real well about bringing in, you know, people there when I'm hosting events. But, yeah, it's such a good setup there. And then when I saw you guys play, and you guys are so high energy, the music was amazing. Everything was clear.
Thank you
guys just put on a great performance. And I really feel bad. And I just feel like you guys, the whole set, the whole build, I felt like you guys were just not necessarily ripped off, but I just felt like, man, you guys, the whole build was just so good that it was on a Sunday night. no one was there, and it was just, well, I mean, there was a good amount of people, but I just felt
like
you guys.
Those are close friends, which we love.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, having a bunch of people out at a show is always great and everything, but the people that come out and support the Night Owl Massacre, we're happy and thankful for each and every single one of them.
Good. Definitely.
Even if we, like, are only playing a room full of five people, there's five people.
Majority of them are Stone crew members, so shout out to Stone again for everybody from Stone coming out.
Cheers to Stone, yeah. And I was going to mention that, too. That was going to be another one of my questions that I actually wrote down, was, like, how's the community treating you guys as far as, like, you know, the crowd presence and maybe the other social music networks, like radio, how are they treating you and stuff like that?
They're treating us good. We do a lot of promotion through Facebook. I want to talk about social media.
We do. I know. Yeah. I was talking to Ill earlier. Media, you got to get up on the Twitter. And the
social media analyst over here.
I'm a therapist. And then, well, I don't know that joke.
You're the rapist?
Man, I can't do it. Anal rapist is where that's going.
You're an anal rapist.
Typical L.
Can't say that on the radio.
Cannot. What was the question, though? I'm thinking I'm feeling my buzz right now.
What do you do in your free time?
Yeah, what do you do in your free time? Oh, no.
I'm the anal rapist.
What was the question? Oh, yeah. It was just, you know, how's the crowd? How's the fans treating you guys? Are you getting a good reaction?
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of love. I mean, like you said, we play high energy, you know. Yeah. Even if people aren't into our band, we hope that if they happen to see us, they're going to stop and be like, these guys look like they're having a hell of a time on stage.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay and check this out for a minute and see if I'm into it.
If there's five people at a show, they're going to get the same show that a room full of 200 people is going to get.
Right.
You know, it's that same high energy performance because that's the only way we know how to do it.
People always come up after and say hi to us and always say, hey, you guys put on a really good show. Looks like you guys are having fun up there.
They whisper sweet nothings in Ricky's ear.
I said the same thing. Before you guys even got off the stage, I went up to you and shook every one of you guys' hand. I was like, dude, you guys rocked it. You know, you guys were super awesome. And again, I like the music. It brought me back. Went back when I used to listen to punk and when I used to be in a punk band. Yeah. And it just reminded me of just like how solid the punk community used to be. I don't really know too much about the punk scene here in San Diego and if it's grown or if it's dying, but I know in the early 90s it used to be, that's
huge.
All the Casbah was just punk shows, you know.
It's still around, and you know, the thing that I really have always liked about punk music is that like fervent DIY ethic that if you can do it yourself, why pay someone else to do it?
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, true.
And the worst thing is you learn how to do something.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people cut quarters, whatever. No, just do it yourself.
Yeah.
And then
it's cheaper.
It is. It's way cheaper. And it's way more satisfying.
It's got more heart in it, too, you know. You hand somebody a CD that you stamped yourself.
We printed it ourselves, you know.
Held it to dry while the guy stamped the other one.
It even came with a little note, too, that said, what did it say?
A little thank you note.
Yeah, a little thank you note.
I saw it fly out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, yeah. See, even made me a thank you for purchasing the first five from the Night Owl Massacre. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Bandcamp to stay up to date with our upcoming shows and special promotions. I'll write you a check
for 2017.
I only accept Travis in the mail.
Okay. That's what's up. All right, so I really appreciate you guys being on the show and all that good stuff. We know you guys got a show coming up here on is it the 12th or the 14th?
February 12th.
It's the 12th. Cool. February 12th.
Couple days before
Wednesday.
Valentine's
Day night.
Couple days before Valentine's Day.
Ooh, Valentine's Day. Yeah, so
bring your loved ones out.
So
I'm out to find my future ex-wife.
So what is this the status right here? I know Els is in a relationship for forever. Now what about Slick Rick and
Slick Rick?
Kevin
the name
Kev?
Gives it. I mean the name. That's what it is, man. The name. I don't know. I don't look into getting in hooking up with anyone like serious. I can't see myself doing that right now. I just like to be free bird, just be myself, and just go, you know, just have fun.
He's in a band.
I'm in a band. I'm an amazing drummer with a curled mustache. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, dude. Hey, I bet the chicks dig it. The chicks dig it. I'm sure.
I didn't have a girlfriend.
I know. I'm recently single.
Okay.
So it just.
And you're in San Diego, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, I am in San Diego, but, you know, I'm kind of focusing on the music right now.
As you
should. You're in a relationship for a while. And it's just, you know, you get out, just time to, like, kind of reinvest in self-time, you know?
Yeah. What's up? So what else is you guys going to be doing? Or what do y'all got going this weekend? Now I'm just going to just talk your ear off.
All right.
What y'all got
I'm
going this
to off tomorrow, but this weekend I think I have off. And, yeah, I'm going
Rockets
to Rocket.
Is Friday,
Rocket,
right?
Rocket is Friday at Casbah.
So we have band practice. Yeah. Then I go to Rocket on Friday night. I have the next day off, and I plan on probably just being annihilated.
Well, you guys have my number now, so you guys should be calling me, and you know, we'll hang out. We'll
just get a beer, go to Stone.
We can hang out, drink some beer, go to Stone. I love that place, man. I love that place. But also, I want to also mention the sponsor, Bettina Time here. She's actually going to be hosting a show here, a show in Art Gallery called Soul Sessions. That's going to be Friday, January 31st at 7 p.m. at 98 Bottles. And it's going to be actually raising money for a good cause. And actually, let's just check in with Bettina. I actually did a little audio sample here with her. And we're going to listen in to see what the cause is about.
Hi, this is Bettina Friedman of Bettina Time, the San Diego Arts Entertainment and Event Production Company. I just want to let you guys know about a really cool art and music event that we're doing this Friday, the 31st, at 98 Bottles, which is located in Little Italy. Which is 2400 Kettner Boulevard, to be exact. The event is called Soul Sessions, and it's 15 visual display artists, as well as 5 live artists, 3 music performances, and 3 DJs. We have Stevie Harris of the Style Tones performing, as well as Stacey Murray and John and the Time Traveling Bicycle. Upstairs, we have DJs Marissa Dittimus, JP Richardson, and Dan Cornagia. We also have 15 visual display artists, along with 5 live artists. And it's only $5. It's from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. And we're raising money to donate to the Gerson Institute. It's all for a good cause. The Gerson Institute is a local San Diego nonprofit organization that educates the public about the Gerson therapy, which is a completely natural treatment for degenerative diseases, including cancer. A good friend of mine and co-worker, Angela Sehun of the local art collective Arte Fresca, and she was also the curator at Figment. We worked together many times, and she was a beautiful person and lost her battle with breast cancer at the beginning of December of last year. And she had just found out about the Gerson therapy when her cancer hit stage 4 and passed before she was able to really get the money together to go ahead and do the treatment and go to a center to really immerse herself in the treatment. So we're doing this in honor of her, absolutely in her memory. All of the artists and DJs that we have, almost all of them, worked at one of her shows or displayed at one of her shows or performed at one of her shows, and really dedicating this whole event to Angela. So come out, because it is going to be a lot of fun. I didn't mean to bring you guys down there, but it is going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot going on. The artists are incredible. The musicians are incredible. The DJs are incredible. So, and the venue is incredible. A million great things to drink there. Fantastic wine, fantastic local craft beer. So again, 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. this Friday, the 31st, at 98 Bottles. And we're doing this event with Tourworthy. Please go check out tourworthy.com. They are an amazing, amazing new website, music sharing website, with musicians, fans, as well as venues. So it really is an incredible new revolution. Tourworthy.com, and you can find out more information about the event on bettinatime.com, as well as access to the Facebook page and the event page for more information. I hope to see you guys there. We're going to have a lot of fun, and thank you, Jenner.
You are welcome, Bettina. Again, it's Soul Sessions. It's going to be Friday, January 31st. It's for a great cause for her friend, Angela Sehun. Definitely check it out. It's a $5 admission. It's down at 98 Bottles. Again, Friday, January 31st at 7 p.m. Again, it's Soul Sessions. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff. It's going to be art gallery. It's going to be people going to be displaying some art. There's going to be 5 live artists. There's going to be some music. Good times, man. So if you don't have anything to do on Friday, just hit it up. Again, it's on the 31st of January. It's a Friday. Definitely swing through. And again, it's raising money for a good cause. BatinaTime.com. That's right. I'm here with the guys, four of the members of the Night Owl Massacre. And the one question I didn't even ask you guys is, how did you come up with the Night Owl Massacre? Like, what was the thought process?
I'll take that one.
Kevin? Right,
so, Night Owl Massacre came about, by the way, I was driving around with my buddy Matt. Matt Cook, by the way, big shout out to Matt. I don't know if he's listening.
Big shout out to Matt.
Shout out to number 10.
So I'm driving with him in the car. We're getting ready to go eat Chinese buffet. And we're driving over from OB. And we pass the Night Owl bar. I think it's over there on like Garnet or somewhere over there.
Oh, so there is a bar called Night Owl.
There's a bar called the Night Owl. And we were listening to the Brian Jonestown Massacre. And so we make this like left past it. And he's kind of like sitting there thinking. He's really the only one that I had shown the songs at.
Yeah.
Or two. And he's like, Night Owl Massacre. He's kind of like LA Confidential. And it was like, oh, yeah, totally. And it's like, that just like stuck. But then with like this thing back and forth, I thought it was too long. And I was stuck on it. I was like, no, the Night Owl Massacre. It sounds awesome. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
It's like the point in that movie where the whole like scandal and everything gets blown open. It's based on like a semi-real event.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like got a cool little story behind it. But we just kind of took it and ran with it. And you know, it's four letters, so you can do like our little like, hardcore logo.
Yeah.
Nice. See, when I first heard the Night Owl Massacre, obviously I was before I was going to go see Neighbors to the North, and I was thinking, man, this you know, Night Owl Massacre, it sounds kind of like grindcore or like metalcore.
Yeah, that's what everyone thinks. Like, yeah. It's like, what are you guys, like a metalcore band?
Yeah,
like, you'd think, but we're not.
So I was like, man, I might have to bring my earplugs or something. There's going to be a lot of screaming.
You still might need those.
Yeah, you just might, just depending on where you're at, what venue you're going
voice,
to.
Of course.
But yeah, I really appreciate you guys. Man, this has been a really fun episode. You guys are very animated, and I'm glad you guys made it happen through your busy schedule this week, because I know you guys practicing a lot for that big show on the 12th of February. It's a Friday, you said?
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night at Gallagher's. So
free show.
Free show, too. So, yeah, everybody come on out, man. Check them out.
Come to the OB Street Fair or OB Farmer's Market. That's what it is. And stay. Go do the Farmer's Market and stay and come see us at Gallagher's.
See, Gallagher's, I want to go, but I'm just so scared of OB, dude. Like, OB just trips me out, dude. Like,
you just got to not give a fuck.
That's true. And I don't, but there's always that point where you do give a fuck sometimes.
There are definitely certain things you got to give a fuck about.
Yeah.
You just got to not give a fuck about all the right things.
Yeah, like sometimes I don't give a fuck, but sometimes I'm like, well, I shouldn't go in this part of town.
You know how you find out?
Exactly.
You know how you find out what's worth the fuck?
How do I find out about that?
You ask yourself, the juice is worth the squeeze.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but
I gotta remember that. I gotta remember that when I'm going to OB next time.
All day.
But you wanna know what OB they do have a place called I can't remember right now, but they have the best tacos. Someone help me out right now.
Best tacos?
South Beach.
There we go. They have a really good food there. And I went to Winston's a couple times too.
Winston's is rad.
We're playing there in March, right? Yeah. We got like an unnamed gig that's going down there in March.
I always hang out at the brewery down there over at Pizza Port.
Yeah, I like Pizza Port too.
Awesome.
You know what, maybe I'll take that back. I have had a couple good times down there, man.
See, you just never remember them, and that's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
You go there for a good time, you don't even realize you did, because you wake up the next day with a hangover, and you're like,
you usually black out in OB, pretty much.
There is one issue, though. I don't like the setup, though. Like, you go in, there's only one way out. That's the only sucky thing.
You can always go over the hill, but I mean, who wants to do that? If you take Narragansett straight up the hill, it'll dump you out by the airport.
All right, y'all hear that, Nardikins? There's a way out. So there's a way out other than going through.
There's a way out.
That's
contact the Night Owl Massacre on Facebook, and we'll tell you all the secret ways.
We'll show you how to get out.
That's what's up. So definitely hit them up, facebook.com/thenightowlmassacre. Also, thenightowlmassacre.bandcamp.com. And I do believe you guys have a Reverb Nation as well, right?
Yeah.
No Twitter, though.
No Twitter. No Snapchat. I don't know. This guy's the social media guru.
I'll tweet you about it when I get one.
Yeah, you can get a Twitter, get a Snapchat, get a Tinder, and get a
Can we get one of those
Vine
on the
app.
Corner? Where do I go get a Twitter
do
at?
Do we got to get like a Zeus or Christian
yes,
Mingle
a Zeus.
As well?
Get a Zeus.
A Christian Mingle?
Yes.
I don't know what Zeus
I think
is.
Kevin wants
Dude, you
to
don't
do a
know
Grindr, maybe?
Oh, Grindr.
Grindr.
Yes. See, you're out of game. See, Elza,
yeah,
you're out of game.
Elves.
You don't know what these apps were mentioning.
I know
about.
What Grindr is. I mean,
of course you do. The way you're holding that mic, of course you know what Grindr is.
Yes, love it. Now the jokes come out. So any shout outs, guys, before we end? Because I know I want to toss to one more
the
song.
The Night Owl Massacre, loves playing used Vox amps.
Yeah. Okay. I want to say what up to Ruby.
Yeah,
wish
Ruby.
Wish she was here. But,
wish you were here, Ruby.
We handle it, girl. We got you. The Light Owl Masker shall prevail.
So let's talk about her before we end. So tell us a little bit about her. Like, what
6 foot two, gorgeous.
Amazing.
Plays bass. I mean, it's really all there is to it.
Hard worker. And she quick
works
learner.
She works with you, right?
Yeah, works down at the co-op with me.
Okay. And that's how you guys know each other? Was it before that?
Well, I think I had met her, like, just via OB. She used to live down there.
Okay.
And, I don't know, it was really just kind of, like, passing by. I was like, wait, Ruby plays bass. I was literally on the computer at work putting out an ad for a bass player, and she walked by. I was like, wait a second. Ruby, come here. And she's like, yeah, what's up, Kev?
Could we edit that part out about you using the people's computer to, like, post Craigslist ads and stuff?
No. No, hell no. That's what happens there.
That's fine. Well, I mean, that's okay. Then.
Obviously, he's bringing non-stone beer.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's fine.
I was going to get my growler, but, you know.
He's saving that for band practice.
Technically, I didn't
saving
post
that for
it.
Bad practice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's right. He didn't post it. So, now, is she from San Diego, too? Or
I believe she's from Bakersfield?
Yeah, California, but Bakersfield. Yeah.
Okay, single, married.
Oh, she is very, very happy.
And nice. We got another shout out coming up with Lexington and Field.
Yeah, Lexington
here.
Okay, well, we haven't gotten the shout outs yet. We're talking about your bases right now. Let's let's let her shine for 5 minutes.
She's happy. She's cool. She's spoken for.
All right, and what's her preferred genre? Like, was she into punk when you guys introduced her to?
She's kind of a headbanger.
Ruby?
She is. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
She's a headbanger.
She's a little bit of metal.
Oh, nice.
Doomy, metal, like anything heavy.
Born Osiris heavy or August Burns Red, like, heavy, Meshuggah heavy.
More like witch and like electric wizard.
Oh, I never even heard of them bands.
That's how heavy they are.
Do you know Red Heard of them?
No. I heard of Ed Gein. Ed Gein's kind of like that weird hardcore.
Is awesome. The sword.
You're kind of talking like stoner metal. I mean, she's all the Wizard of Black and Death.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. She's like mayhem and...
Yeah.
Again, all kinds of like burning churches down. Ruby's just the most badass chick ever.
That's what's up.
Big shout out to Ruby. I wish she was here, but she had other.
She's so brutal that she didn't want to, like,
be too brutal.
With Ruby, it always happens that you might just be too brutal.
Yeah, and that's fine because I can't handle too much brutality.
It's a small studio here.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yes.
You know, I mean, it's...
Truth be told, we didn't have room for her.
Brutal is as brutal does.
You know what? I noticed, like, you guys' chemistry is great, man. You can tell, like, you guys are friends, you guys are family, and that's what I like about when I'm hanging out with people that are in bands. You can just tell, like...
I thought you were going to, like, put
not,
my head down.
It's not just... It's music. It's family. You guys are doing something together,
yeah.
And you guys like playing music together as a family. Well, like, I could just see it.
Could
just
you imagine? Like, I don't know. That it just doesn't make sense to me trying to make music that you care about with people that you don't.
It happens. Yeah. It happens
I mean,
all the
yeah,
time.
We're not
dude.
The killers. So.
Yeah,
honestly, no one's paying us money except the people that we play for.
Yeah.
So it's we're clearly doing this because we love it.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. So cool. What about some shout outs? I know I want to go ahead and get out of here because I did tell you guys it was only going to take 30 minutes. So I lied. I'm sorry.
Know, it just,
so now I owe you another $5. So now
I'd like
I'm
to give it up to time because it just it's always there.
Yeah.
I time like the concept.
Yeah, the concept. Yes. Electricity. It really allows us to do what we do.
It's relative.
The fermentation of alcohol. I'm a
fermentation of alcohol. Give that up. Yeah, fermentation. Period.
Beer is the best.
All shapes and forms.
Big shout out to the Red Hook.
Big shout out to the restaurant industry for employing scumbags like myself and Ricky.
There you go.
The government for allowing L's to go back to school.
Yes.
What? I paid for all that myself, son.
And, Obamacare.
I thought they sent you back.
Yeah, they loaned me money.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are. You're not a scumbag. You're going to pay that back.
I got no shout outs. Sure. I'm done. Ricky, who you shouting out to?
Same.
All
you
the
know,
ladies?
Yeah, all my ladies out there, you know who you are. I'm not going to mention any names. I'll probably get in trouble. But yeah, definitely shout out to all the people that always go to our shows. We love you. Thank you for the support.
The fans.
My brothers, girlfriend that are always there. Everybody from Stone that always makes it out. It's always good to see the stoner faces there.
Yeah.
And also the people from Spike that make it out every once in a while, too.
Yeah, so yeah. Big shout out to Spike, man. They gave me, like, a lot of good TV time, man. Like, I had them on the show, like, 3-4 times. You know, I'm a producer for television, and they're very animated, and they made a good, awesome segment. And let them know I'm going to come through. Let them know that Jannard from Night and Day, he's the producer. He's going to come through and hang out.
Yeah, definitely do that, yeah. Shout out to the GM, Alex, and the executive chef, Paul.
Yeah. Ronaldo. Yeah, good stuff, man.
I'd say big shout out to the Regal Beagle.
Okay.
I worked over there in Mission Hills for quite a while, but put up with a bunch of my shit so I could play shows.
Nice.
And Matt and Tim over there, and Sal and Paul and Doug and Kyle in the kitchen. You guys are all rad. Jesse working behind the bar. Again, let's see here.
We're starting the music here, Kev.
Oh,
we're
playing the music. I can't hear it. I am kind of deaf.
They do have their guitars in their hand right now, Nardikins, but
yeah, let's jam this. Let's jam this song out real quick.
Let's just one take this one real quick. Yeah.
But before we get in there, I also want to mention I want to give a shout out to Casbah, honestly. Like,
big time.
For, I mean, 25 years.
25 years.
Making it happen, being a huge part of the music community. I want to give a shout out to the local radio stations.
Focal hub.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I think we're. Is that all the shout outs y'all want to do? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Good. And like, so I guess family members, you know, even my mom came out with my dad to one of our shows. What? And she loved it. Yeah, she was there. She bought a shirt and a CD.
See,
So, yeah, she's like, yeah, she was there.
It's all about it.
Yeah, she was at the shutdown.
All right, I got to stand up for this. This is the last portion of the show before I do my whole little promo thing and all that. So, here we go.
We all stand up?
No, you guys sit down. I just got to stand up because I gotta get in the mode. This is called a 5-second game. You ready? You got 5 seconds to respond. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Favorite color?
Red.
Favorite color?
Green.
Favorite
black.
Color? Favorite cereal?
Trix.
Favorite cereal?
Lucky Charms.
Favorite cereal?
Oatmeal.
Favorite TV show?
Seinfeld.
Favorite TV show?
Lost.
Favorite TV show?
None.
Favorite movie? Favorite movie?
Lockhart, The Dewey Cox Story.
Favorite movie?
Spun.
Favorite song? Band. Favorite band?
Favorite band? Smiths.
Favorite band?
Talica.
Favorite band?
Rocket from the Crypt.
What would be your porn name?
Slick Rick.
Poor name.
James Hall.
Poor name.
Long Dawn.
All right. What's your favorite food?
Carne asada.
Food.
Fried chicken.
Food.
Hot food.
Last one. Favorite beer.
Stone.
Beer.
Beer.
Green Flash Imperial IPA.
All right, guys. That's
five
it.
Seconds,
thank you, guys.
5 seconds.
Listening into. I just broke my headphones. I think listening to the podcast episode 147 with my buddies from the Night Owl Massacre.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah,
appreciate
I really
it.
Appreciate it. And again,
we appreciate
you
having us.
I want to give another big shout out to Bettina Tom and Tour Worthy, who are presenting the Soul Sessions. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Again, this is going to be Friday, January 31st at 7 p.m. at 98 Bottles, and it'll be $5 for the admission. Again, hit her up, BettinaTom.com. And also, I guess the guys are going to play us out to
this
the
song's
show.
For Emery.
For Emery, and it's called Trot, right?
Yeah.
Now, all right, take it away.
Just a dynamic intro. out of your skin. The gray that's sinking in.
Void in my heart.
That was awesome, guys.
Void in my heart.
Awesome.